What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number 1.
On Tuesday, the Bears announced that the team placed linebacker TJ Edwards and offensive lineman Ozzie Chipillo on injured reserve. Are you more concerned about the health of the offense or the health of the defense heading into Sunday's divisional round game against the Rams at Soldier Field?
Okay. I'll play this dangerous, scary game you're playing, Ray M. Diaz. I don't even know what the M stands for.
It's Michael. You know, MJ.
Ray Michael Jordan Diaz. Here's my issue. Is that the offense makes me concerned because obviously the left tackle situation is not set. We're going to talk about that with Olin Cruz too. We got a lot to discuss with Olin at 125. 1 o'clock is Danny. We got a lot to say to Danny too. I forgot to tell Courtney Turner the Danny's robe is custom. She wanted Danny's robe. I forgot to bring it up. Anywho, the defense is what terrifies me here. How can it not? TJ Edwards broke his damn leg, for example. Do we know how CeeDee Gardner-Johnson's doing? I know he was tweeting a bunch watching the playoff game, and I love that for him and us. Those who read his tweets, is he going to be available? Jalen Johnson looked a little bit better even during the game progressing. Kyler Gordon looked okay. So is he gonna have a game where maybe he's super sore and super roughed up if he hadn't played a lot of football games this year? It's the health of the defense. Like, especially, okay, Joe Tryon-Shoyanka is still in the concussion protocol, or at least at last check he was. You know, they traded for him because when Dyer Odenbo went down, they wanted to help. So that defensive front that they say they're going to have to rely on against the best offense in the National Football League is going to have to be better. So all of that said, you are going to have to figure out how to make that defense work in a way that perhaps hasn't worked before.
Yeah, if we're talking about health-wise, it's got to be the defense. All those people you just mentioned, plus Andrew Billingsley in the middle, like...
Yeah, Andrew Billings had a hip injury.
He's that dude, as far as the run goes, that you've been able to depend on for a couple of years now. And if he's hurt, that's problematic. Also, it's... How healthy is Jalen Johnson? I know he's not going to be 100% before the end of the season. Same with Kyler Gordon. But exactly how healthy will they be? Is he or Kyler as healthy as, I don't know, Davante Adams?
It's going to be... You heard what Matt Bowen said. If he was the Packers, based on the Bears' struggles on defense against the Lions, he would just run nothing but crossing patterns. And that seemed to be the way that the Packers wanted to attack the Bears this last time, until there were some adjustments. And frankly, until you saw Jalen, for example, running with Christian Watson to get that pass break up. I really want to call him Christian Watkins now because of Kevin Byard. Is that wrong?
That's not wrong.
It's like Jalen Johnson. You know, it's a dangerous game.
It is a
when you start
game.
Saying guys' names wrong, it's going to come up somewhere on the air and you're going to look silly.
Next thing you're saying, CJ Gardner-Johnson. You don't want to do that.
Well, and we still call him CeeDee.
Yes.
He asked to be called CeeDee. What he says goes.
Yes, yeah, CeeDee Gardner-Johnson had an impactful season, so we're going to call that man what he wants to be
called.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a simple agreement. You know, it's basic stuff.
Number 2.
Question number 2, what concerns you most about the Los Angeles Rams?
Come on, man. This is very easy.
Everything.
What concerns me most is those receivers. The 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. The 2-1 mm-hmm. punch. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Puka Nacua doing whatever he wants. And then the red zone, the fact that Davante Adams can score on a pass in the red zone because that's what they've been doing all season long. Matthew Stafford is out here creating new rules of engagement when it comes to getting into the deep red zone and what you're supposed to do. You don't have to run it in. You can just toss it to Devontae. Everybody, he's got you.
We had discussions about the deep red zone and the intimate red zone and And did you notice how everybody started calling it the low red zone after
that?
Yeah,
what's that? The
it's
low red zone?
It's almost as if we blew it up because we were middle school kids about it all.
Red zone's still better than the red area? Is that what someone called it?
Kirk Herbstreit jumped on the Tom Brady train and called it the red area too. And I'm like, yo, that's what you tell your doctor about. This is not what we call the field.
Back in the day when I covered the Steelers, it was the Heinz red zone because, you know, Heinz Field. So ketchup, anytime you got inside the 20, they do all the sponsorship for that.
Hot take, ketchup is good.
Oh, that is a hot take.
Not on a hot dog. Let's not be ridiculous.
What's it good on?
Not eggs, but french fries and stuff and a burger.
Hot take, ketchup is terrible for you. It's just straight sugar in a packet.
Straight sugar is actually sugar.
Processed sugar in a packet. How about that?
No, I like that spicy ketchup, guys. The spicy ketchup is the way to go.
You like a little kick? Well, let's hope that the Bears get a little kick to their offense. I don't know, in the first quarter of this game. Five
on it. Number three.
This is 5 out of 9 on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. And Mark Grody, he'll be here at 12:25 giving us a report live from Hallis Hall. On Tuesday, the NFL world reacted to Mike Tomlin stepping away from his role as Steelers head coach. Here's how Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti reacted to it.
On at Pittsburgh.
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So, is he a candidate here?
Holy Mike, wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job.
So that's Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti reacting to the news that Mike Tomlin stepped away from the Steelers. But here's our question. It's multiple choice. Do you think Mike Tomlin will open the 2026 season as a head coach of a new NFL team? B, a member of an NFL broadcast crew? C, just be a retired dude? Or D, other? And if you do choose other, I want to know, what do you think Mike Tomlin's going to be doing?
I think Mike Tomlin's going to be doing a whole lot of commercials. So I'm going to go with D, other.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean he can't still do B, be the member of a broadcast crew. I just cannot see him retiring and not doing anything and or coaching somewhere else while he's still on, you know, he still has rights to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know that teams want to give up a whole lot for Mike Tomlin at this current juncture, but I think Mike Tomlin just gets on TV and gets to be Mike Tomlin, both on the set of a post-game, pre-game show, whatever, and also in commercials. Mike Tomlin in commercials is going to be amazing.
Hi, this is Mike Tomlin for your local auto dealer. Do you like to drive? We like to drive on the Steelers. I don't know. I'm just trying to make up something on the fly. I got to write these things down in advance.
I would love Mike Tomlin to do those auto insurance commercials that Ice-T does. I would
with
love
Vivica
to
A.
see,
Fox?
And with I would like to see Vivica A. Fox, Ice-T, and Mike Tomlin in one commercial.
Here's the issue is like, do they just do a riff off of Mike Tomlin, the standard is the standard, where it's like, Mike Tomlin's here for quality control. The standard is the standard. And it's something random, you know, like when you need your countertop surfaced, Mike Tomlin is the guy for the standard.
There is a treasure trove of Tomlinisms. And that's a tease for 145 because we're going to go through some of those.
Also, credit to Steve Bisciotti, who sounded the most self-aware and real that I've heard an owner sound in a very long time. That, and I don't like to use these phrases a lot because they get used and weaponized, is a self-made man.
I just thought of another.
He started his business out of his basement with secondhand equipment.
Well, yeah, he also brings levity, as we heard there in the press conference. So he seems, as you said, self-aware of what's going on through other people's eyes, not just, you know, a billionaire owner, as tend to be the case.
He's not talking about taking over other countries in press conferences. Jerry Jones.
Oh, man, that's a direct shot. Also, to go along with my television theme, he could also just be Omar Epps' stunt double.
Oh, wow.
You've never seen them in the same place, have you?
This is true.
I have not.
Guess we might get to the bottom of that mystery after all.
Five on it. Number four.
Is Chiefs offensive coordinator and former Bears head coach Matt Nagy about to get boxed out of this coaching cycle?
Here's the thing. So when the coaching cycle first started, you know, I'd say day 1 through 5 or so, wink. So like when the cycle first started, you're like, oh, Matt Nagy seems like a reasonable candidate here. You know, he had the story with Dan Pompey talking, or was it? Yeah, it was Dan Pompey talking about what he would do better the next time around. And I do think he deserves a next time around. I think most people do. That's fair. He qualified for the job. The problem is the Bears qualified him, which I don't know if at the time that was good enough for the rest of the league. He did get to two playoff games in separate seasons.
How many do you win?
Don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
So, point being, it would be safe to say, especially when he went back to one of the most successful teams in the NFL, that he would get a second chance. So he talked about what he would do differently, which not a lot of coaches will actually come out and say, and I give him credit for that as well. So then he starts getting these interviews, but then you hear what names could be available and then are available. Mike McDaniel, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin is tradable, available. And what do you think is going to happen in this? Somebody's going to get boxed out of the cycle that wasn't available or that was probably going to be a big name previously. It is just like a depth chart, unfortunately. So I wonder if he probably gets a job just based on the sheer number of head coaching availabilities there are and the fact that his odds are better being an offensive-minded head coach. But I don't know. This is a tough one. It doesn't have the same kind of luster now that we're a little bit later in the cycle that it had originally.
I'll say this. Matt Nagy was never on my radar to be hired for a head coaching job. Not that I have a head coaching job to fill, but if it was, Matt Nagy's so far down my list. There's so many other people I would put as a head coach of my team than Matt Nagy. It's a long list. You didn't even mention Kevin Stefanski.
Two-time coach of the year.
I'd rather have Brian Flores than Matt Nagy.
One of the best defensive coordinators in the game.
Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, anyone?
Absolutely. His name is very high among a lot of people.
Rams defensive coordinator Chris Shula.
Interviewed, yes.
I could just keep going.
Well, we can keep going with Brian Daboll, who's reportedly going to interview with the Titans.
If that's I'm the Titans, one. I'm interviewing 200 people.
Cliff Kingsbury. The list goes
that's
on.
Top of the list name right there. Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury.
And that's the point. Like we forgot about who all is available because of some of the biggest names in coaching in the league.
Take that, Matt Nagy.
Number five.
This is 5 minutes on 670 The Score with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. Mark Grody joins us from Hallis Hall at 12:25, just 10 minutes away. Who will be the most famous person we see at Sunday night's Bears-Rams divisional round matchup at Soldier Field?
Okay, so here's one of my concerns, is that Common was a photographer, right? He was just...
Yeah, he had the official NFL, that brown vest.
Yeah,
the
vest you wear because, you know, you want to be visible in case there's a collision or something. You have to move around the side. If you're adjacent to the sideline, you have to wear one of those for safety. And they make sense. But, you know, Common's famous and all. But every day at the game, you have Simone Biles.
Mm. Yeah.
Arguably the greatest gymnast of our time. Did you see the Jonathan Owens coat she had made, by the way? It was like this long leather coat, and then his picture was on the back of the coat.
Is it a new one? Because Didn't she used to have a Packers one?
Yes, she did. But she, being one of the greatest of all time, had this made. So it's like this black leather coat, or it's some sort of heavy material coat, and then it had like a fur collar. So Simone Biles is the given, right? Because she's always going to be the most famous. And there was a litany. Freddie Gibbs, who was on this radio station, which I think is incredible. The amount of people who were there to watch the game, or like AJ Pierzynski was there, for example, who our buddy, our caller got to say hello to. So I think that here's the thing. How many playoff wins do the Bears have to get before Michael Jordan comes back to town?
Being that this
How many, Michael Jordan? What is it going to take for you to come back?
Piece of ownership in the team.
Okay. Is it who would be mad if Michael Jordan had a piece of ownership of the Bears?
Don't let him near that front office, though.
Don't worry about that part. We'll give him a cool, fun job, like being Michael Jordan's job.
Okay.
How many wins? What is it going to take
to get
Michael Jordan back here?
I would expect Michael Jordan to roll into Soldier Field before I would expect him to come anywhere near the United Center or a White Sox game. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, to be quite honest.
That man avoids Chicago so much, he's going to have to be airdrop skydived onto the field.
I have an idea of a famous person that could come and supersede Simone Biles. What about former President Barack Obama? He's a Bears fan.
How many wins for Barack?
I'm just saying. That's the only person I can really think of off the top of my head that's would be more famous than Simone Biles.
Michael Jordan went to a North Carolina game. Michael Jordan sat for a Bill Belichick coach North Carolina game.
Did he leave early like everybody else?
I don't know. That's a good question. Did Jordan Hudson have a hand in that? Like, who brought Michael Jordan to that game?
Not Jordan Hudson. I forgot about her.
Hey, what about Jennifer Hudson? She's, she's dating Common.
Jennifer girlfriend. Hudson would qualify. Yes. We would be happy to see Hudson at a Bears game. PCA will also qualify.
Oh, PCA will be there because he's been there.
Yeah, but
my inspiration for this, coming up with this question is the man of the hour, because the Cubs officially announced it today.
Alex Bregman.
That's right. Cubs third baseman, officially Alex Bregman. I bet he'll be there because he was at a Blackhawks game.
Yeah. I just, none of those people are as famous as Simone Biles. That's the problem.
No, the only one I like, it's Oprah, who could also come back to Chicago anytime. Oprah,
Jordan, Barack, Obama.
The late Jerry Springer would have been a part of this mix, but he was a big baseball fan, you know. I used to see Jerry at MLB Network when I worked there. He had a stretch limo because he's awesome.
Spike Lee? The text lines are going crazy.
Well, yeah, Spike Lee was at the game.
Chance, I love Bill Murray.
Was at the game.
Chance was. I loved that.
Seth Rollins and Vince Vaughn were at the game.
6-3-0. The Pope.
Oh, how many playoff wins does it take to get the Pope?
Well, Pope, the threshold for the Pope's got to be the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Super Bowl before you asking for the Pope to show up.
Why not? Why can't the Pope show up at a wild card game?
I love that in the Spiegel and Holmes interview with Freddie Gibbs,
they
asked him about seeing Spike Lee, and Freddie Gibbs said to Spike Lee, "What are you doing here?" And it didn't sound like Freddie Gibbs even got an answer from Spike Lee. Like, Freddie Gibbs was just as surprised.
That's hilarious.
Because we all thought the same thing. We're like, wait. You're trying to get the Pope a Knicks jersey, dude.
Well, New York football, the state of New York football is horrible, so he's got to latch on, you know?
If you're tired of your New York football teams, come to the Bears.
Are we back on our death row? Is that what we're doing?
But you know, unfortunately for Spike, he's going to have to get rid of the Knicks love, too, in there. And yeah, I know people have said that that's bad luck, but that's how this works.
Lupe Fiasco. I mean, the Bears are trying to kick push the way to the Super Bowl.
I don't know that Lupe Fiasco is more famous at this juncture in time in 2026 and Simone Biles.
But none of these people are that we're saying. Bill Murray, Ashton Kutcher, Belushi. Like, I get it.
Yeah, all of these people are welcome.
Yes. Ditka.
Just don't ask me for tickets because I have zero. But I think that they should be at the game.
Five on it.
That was Five on It. And I'm still in, like, paused in thinking about the concept of Michael Jordan being at the game. It's not going to happen.
That would be a whole story in and of itself.
But then again, you know, I thought a lot of things weren't going to happen, and they do. So I don't know. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Kevin Garnett is welcome at the game. Coming up next here on Rahimi Harris and Grody, we'll go out to Hallis Hall. Mark Grody joins us next.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Bears. Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I need talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll go next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What? Host of the Take the North podcast.
I'm sorry, guys. What was I talking about?
Kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
My hair does look good today.
With Rahimi Harrison Grody on The Score.
He's an apartment complex, this guy.
You updated the Mark Grody open again, Tyler. Let's go live out to Hallis Hall. That is where we find our co-host, Mark Grody. He's also the co-host of the Take the North podcast, and he covers the Bears for you, TTN. Mark joins us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. It is through the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Hey,
that is
Mark.
A close-up.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it has been a fast-paced day out here at Hallis Hall. As a matter of fact, a very slow pace coming in. It was one of these days where, and some people driving out there know this, there was a massive, massive accident on 294 today. So it was one of those days where I literally walk into Hallis Hall as Ben Johnson is beginning his press conference. So I'm coming into it like that, and they've got players in the hallway. They've got players at the podium and just all sorts of things happening out here. I can tell you that the team is outside practicing right now. Yes, outdoors. That is what they do. We were told today, you know, that the players, that Ben has done a good job of making sure they do practice outside. Every once in a while, they'll go indoors to the Walter Payton Center, but they don't have those giant heaters out there either. So there's really no salvation for the players as they practice and get ready for it, which has been a playful complaint, I'll just say, by some of the players that they don't have those giant industrial steel heaters, which I can tell you from all my years on the sidelines, guys, those are a real deal. That you get real warm, real fast. I may have even melted that nice big coat of mine in standing in front of one of those heaters one time.
Yeah, they blaze fire, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's basically fire, Layla. Yes. So
heat.
They work.
It's basically fire.
I like the way I like it when you walk by the flamethrower just to get, you know, take the edge off. I'm good with that, Grody.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, trust me, I found my places. When I did the sidelines, I was like, of course I would not go near it if there were players that needed it. But you know, when the players walked away, I would walk in front of those heaters and some of those really cold days out there. But the team is outside practicing. Like I said, guys, several players have spoken today, and Ben Johnson has spoken today. But the main man that I know everybody wants to hear from is Caleb Williams. He was front and center at the lectern today out here at Hallis Hall.
Caleb, how satisfaction have you gotten over maybe these last handful of games with some of the stuff that you've done in the fourth quarter to show people, maybe doubters, like that you are the guy that people thought you were coming out of USC?
Yeah, that's never been a worry of mine, is proving a doubt is wrong or anything like that. It's a little extra motivation in that sense, but it's not for me to prove them wrong. I know who I am. You know, not everything happens within 365 days or 1 year, my first year, or even my second year, or third year, whatever the case may be. So it's my mindset to be able to keep growing. It's my mindset to be able to keep that mindset of knowing who I am. Keep that mindset of, you know, I feel that I'm the best when I'm on the field. Keeping the mindset of, you know, I'm the best when I got, you know, the other 10 guys around me that are fighting for me. I'm the best when I got, you know, the best coach in the world. And so being able to, you know, have those, that mindset, being able to have that mentality going into the years or the weeks or the months and things like that, that's kind of how I go about it.
Sounds like Caleb Williams is in his own world right now, and that's fine because I like the space that he's residing in.
Yeah, main character energy Caleb Williams is fine by me.
You know what it is? And there were other questions about like the miraculous things that he's done. And like even being asked about the Jordan logo thing, that meme that everybody's putting up on the 4th and 8 pass, like with all of this, his answers are, he may as well say this, guys, I know I'm great. Like that's the tone. I'm
no,
serious.
No, you're
like,
right.
And I appreciate that. Like when somebody asked him about that, you guys can go check out the audio later. I don't have the time to play a whole bunch of audio for you guys right now, but go back and listen to the question. Somebody asked him about the meme, and his answer was, yeah, you know, like he appreciated it, but he was like, they've done that before to me. He's like, yeah, like in college, there was a couple times when the Jumpman logo came up. So back to his USC days. So this guy has, look, through miles of criticism, Lord knows I've been critical of Caleb Williams. We all have. It's what we do. But he none of it really affects him. He hears it. We know, like the Lil Wayne stuff came up, and he gave like a 2 or 3 word answer, basically saying, oh, yeah, that was funny or something like that. He didn't give it too much justice. And I did hear you guys. One of you guys does a really good. Is it Ray that's, that was doing the Lil Wayne?
That's Ray.
That's Ray. Give it to him, Ray.
Yeah, Grody, oh, baby. Ray. I don't like the Bears, but I like my Grody.
I was listening. I'm like, that is so good. That was so
still
good.
Still give me a band. So, I'm your favorite rapper.
He knows he's good. Caleb knows. So I can honestly report this man has lost no confidence because of the outside world. And look, every quarterback in the league deals with it, but we know the shine is a little bit different when you're the number one overall pick, when you are told that you are elite, when you are told that you're generational and all of that stuff. And he's not there yet still, believe it or not, but he's on a way better trajectory than he was, say, a quarter of the way through this season or even halfway through this season, doing what he has done when he's had to do the things that he has done. So it was very interesting and enlightening listening to a very, very, by the way, very calm Caleb Williams at the podium today.
Yeah, and that's who he is. You know, that's what made the times where he's gotten a little, I wouldn't say petty, but he's like, well, I was told I couldn't play under center. I couldn't turn my back to the defense. Like,
yes.
I like it because, you know, you're human. You're not cyborg Caleb Williams. And we had fun watching him with the cheese grater on the Amazon postgame show and then him mixing in the salt bay. And he'll do stuff. It's a little bit like when Tom Brady was playing, you know, to post the video to the Lil Wayne song as a response on Instagram. That's pretty operative, I feel like, of how Tom Brady used to conduct himself when he was still playing. You know, it took over a season for us to get a lot of personality out of Tom. So I feel like he's following the steps of those who have the great expectation on them as well.
Yeah, like that's the way he's always put himself. What is it? Was it earlier this year? Didn't he kind of, when he talked about the Kobe Bryant quote or the Michael Jordan quote, where you know, you're going to miss most of the game-winning shots. And so he has used those elite names. He has always put himself in the company of the great ones, of the elite ones. Like, he hasn't backed off of that. That's the company that he believes he is in. And he, you know, that he is showing why with some of these unbelievable throws, some of these unbelievable comebacks, all of that. And, you know, you may need more of that, maybe a good old fashioned shootout along the lakefront on Sunday night, starting at 5:30. They're going to need all of that from Caleb. And despite the fact that the Bears just insist upon themselves in getting their offense right in the fourth quarter, they're always holding out hope, both sides of the ball at this point, that they actually start faster. Like, keep the dream alive that could actually happen against the Rams. They're not discounting that, but we know where the magic has happened for the Bears.
Yeah, I've kind of given up on that dream. I'm just along for the ride at this point.
The dream is dead.
It's not dead. It's
but
just like, that's not...
Your dream ultimately is still alive.
That is not what I'm depending on to carry the Bears forward, at least this Sunday, although they probably need that in order to have a legitimate chance of winning this game. Grody, what else was said out there that got your attention in terms of the way they're talking about this matchup?
Yeah, you know what, Marshall? We are in the everybody is saying nice things about everybody phase of the program, whether it's coming out of Los Angeles, whether it's coming out of Chicago here today. You know, we heard, you know, like Kevin Byard talk about how good Matthew Stafford is and how good, what a challenge it's going to be to stop Puka Nacua, and what it is that, you know, what Davante Adams, you know, is a technician. That was an adjective that was used to describe him today. So I feel like it's just sort of formulating, and we're in the gentle phase of the week, the courtesy phase of the week, where there's a lot of questions going back and forth on how good and how great certain players are on both sides of the ball. I did think it was interesting today. Had a really good talk with Montez Sweat with a few other reporters today. I'll be able to play some of that this afternoon, I believe at 5 o'clock on the Spiegel and Holmes show. But he said, and it perked my interest, Montez Sweat said, this is the most fun he's ever had playing football,
which is
really good to hear, because it hasn't felt like that for Montez Sweat through my eyes over the last year, and even for maybe a year and a half. Like, he has come on, he has made plays recently, he did get the double-digit sacks, but this has not seemed like a guy who has been having a whole lot of fun playing football, and now he says he's having the most fun that he's ever played. So it's good to hear that. It's good to hear that everybody has a super health. It's amazing what winning does. It gives you health in your brain.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think it's also seeing your results pay off. You know, like, that's part of why I think Caleb Williams can be confident. Not only has he been successful at the college level, but when you earn as much money as you do, like all of us, you know, when you get a job that pays well and you earn your salary, you feel better about yourself. And I think it's great that he's got the ability to do that. What's really cool is Chase Young was also at the Bears game to support Montez Sweat. Like, what a thoughtful thing to do as a fellow NFL player who's not your teammate anymore.
Yeah, no, that's it's very cool. It's been pretty amazing to see all the people that have been coming out to these Bears games. I can't wait to see who is the who's who on the sidelines this week, and just the energy that's going to be out at Hall at Soldier Field on Saturday. I mean, how do you top what was by some accounts, by people, that it was the loudest they have ever heard Soldier Field? It's going to get crazy, and there's going to be a long list of celebrities and football enthusiasts and friends of the family that will be out at Soldier Field on Sunday night at 5:30.
Yeah, Grody, we said we want to know how many playoff wins it takes for Michael Jordan to show up.
Oh, I mean, I don't even think Jordan would show up for the Super Bowl. He's never been one of those Chicago guys that's like a fan of all the other teams in town. So I don't think we'll be seeing Michael Jordan unless they pay him like literally like $1 billion to be there. Wow. I don't expect MJ to be there. Okay. But that would be something.
Is it?
If the Bears could pull that off, that would be something. But when does MJ show up to anything?
He was at the North Carolina game, Bill Belichick's first game.
So he was in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, yeah. I said the best chance of him showing up at a game is Bears, Panthers, NFC Championship game at Carolina is probably the best chance you have of him showing up. And also, we think the Pope is more likely to show up than MJ, if that tells you anything.
Ooh, I like that. Like the Pope just rises over the, like he just drops in out of nowhere. He comes floating in his gown. Oh, my God. I would love to see Bob Provost make his way in.
See, this is why we can't handle things. Yeah. Not even that we can't have nice things. We
good
just
things,
can't handle anything. Yeah.
He's just levitating over the field and the sideline and blessing everybody that he comes across.
And glowing. There has to be a glow.
There has to be a glow. Maybe he'll drop a little holy water on the field. Maybe just spray it down a little bit. Just give it a little spritz, a little shot here, a little shot there from the Pope.
I like the idea of like a hose. You know, you just spray it down.
Yeah,
we're like, going to get in trouble, Grody. This is 75 at least Hail Marys for the both of us.
Oh, I am so behind in my Hail Marys. Like I said, like I always said, like when I say things like that, it's God's fault and Jesus for that matter.
Okay.
Because he has blessed me with a reverence and sometimes a sense of humor. So it's not on me. You know?
No, I am not going to partake in this with you. I'm going to let you get back to work at Hallis Hall.
I've scared you guys now. Okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't want to get that bad energy, man.
To be fair, I'm not scared, Grody. I'm just concerned about you. That's all.
Don't be afraid. Don't be worried about me. Hey.
Concerned. Not worried. Concerned.
I'll be fine. You guys
the nuns
would have
loved you.
God does not want people to fear him. I'm sorry. That is not what God is there for.
But there's a whole phrase. Anyway, before we get too existential, Mark Grody, thanks for taking the time.
Bye, guys.
Bye. That's Mark Grody.
Bye,
you
Groats.
Can hear him again in the afternoon show. It is Lawrence Holmes and Carmen Vitale today, so we look forward to that pairing, and you will hear Mark's work with them. Coming up next, let's just keep with, let's keep this up, guys. Let's keep up the idea of some divine or perhaps at least weather-related intervention, now that we've all learned what a heater is today. Matt Stafford and the cold weather. Let's talk about that, along with the propensity of what could happen in this game based on their last body of work.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Next.
Listen to Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we just got done with a Bears hit from Mark Grody talking to us about how the Bears feel about their upcoming matchup with the Rams. The Rams, who had to work to earn that win over the Carolina Panthers. That was no easy game for them. As we saw, it ended up being a three-point game where they won on the road 34-31, and that is a team who has beaten them before. So it's safe to say that a comeback is in play against this Rams team, if possible.
Here's what I want to say about the Rams. I know they have the best offense in football. It is like, in totality, their offense was the best in football. Highest scoring, highest yards, in totality.
But the substat of totality, comma, for real.
Yes, for real.
Not but just like part, for real.
At the same time, Layla, this is a team that went 12-5 in the regular season. And heading into week 13, they were sitting there at 9-3 and looking pretty doggone good. They went 3-3 down the stretch. You mentioned the loss to the Panthers. They also lost an exciting overtime battle at Seattle. And they also lost to the Falcons, who did finish the year strong. The Falcons did.
Cool.
But let me give you some numbers. 20, 27, 38, 34, 17, 31. Those are the point totals they allowed over their last six games. They could be had.
They can, and their defense, while it does have some stars, as we've talked about, like Jared Verse is awesome, and tends to, I think, kind of rise up in the playoffs. You know, we saw that last year. He had an incredible
playoff. He was playoff. Crazy last year.
Well, the funniest was when he ended the quarterback hit with the Jimmy Superfly Snuka flying tackle, which I don't know how that was named, like, not penalized, but I'm cool with it because it was funny. You don't want him doing that to your quarterback. But then you look at like Byron Young, for example, who had 12 sacks on the season, 12 tackles for loss, 101 total tackles. So there are people to be respected on that defense. There's no doubt. And Ben Johnson brought them up as well. You know, you respect three tech for sure. But this is a team that, despite being so respected offensively, they still ended up with five losses in the regular season. I think it was because of the division they're in. They lost to the 49ers 26-23. They lost to the Panthers, as we mentioned before, 31-28. Lost to the Seahawks in that thriller, 38-37, the Falcons game. You know, the Eagles game is probably the one where you're saying to yourself at the time, well, that's the champions beating a slightly not as good team. But now we know that that's not true. You know, they played their best football, winning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in a row in the middle of the season. And that's where they really started to cook and come on.
I think the tell is that of their five regular season losses, only one of them came to a non-playoff team. And that was a Falcons team that was right there in a bad division. I'm not saying the NFC South is full of world beaters, but that's the only game they lost to a non-playoff team.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, too, their two games against the Cardinals were in the latter part of their season. You know, they beat them 45-17. Then they beat them 37-20 to end the season. So that'll help pad your offensive stats as well.
True.
Took down the Lions 41-34. So I think you're fair to say, especially given how they've played the Panthers twice this season, that if you match up properly, this is a team that you can theoretically do some work against.
Weren't the Panthers 10.5 dogs in that game?
Yes.
And
yeah.
That's at their place. And people are like, oh, the Rams are just going to... Listen.
Double-digit home dog rules still apply.
If I told you the Bears are going to host the Rams, and in the fourth quarter of that game, Caleb Williams is going to have the ball with a minute left and a chance to either tie or win the game because they're only down three, you would sign up for that today.
Because you know the team that you've been watching all season.
Absolutely.
The team that stressed everybody out. And I think what you said about the special teams is correct. The Bears have a clear and outright advantage on special teams.
And I'm not saying that the Rams don't have a clear and outright advantage on offense and defense, but I think Ben Johnson's offense is a lot closer to Sean McVay's offense than the special teams is of the Rams to the Bears' special team. There's a huge gap. They had to fire their special teams coordinator midseason.
And that's not what you want. You know, our punishment for the Cincinnati game was just saying you had to take an Uber pool back. It's a long Uber pool ride, but firing was not part of the discussion.
Didn't make anybody walk home. Just no. Take the Uber pool.
Not Uber. No. Not flying back. Not even the bus. Uber pool was the sufficient punishment for that.
And that's not even that long of a ride. Cincinnati's not that far from here.
An Uber pool it is.
Oh, okay. Especially if you're stopping, dropping people
off.
Or the
Lyft line.
Okay, that's
suddenly fair. Your little 7-minute trip turns into a 35-minute chat.
Pre-pandemic, I took a lot of Uber pool because it was just economically. I wasn't in a hurry. It was economically responsible.
Me too. I met a lot of interesting people on a Lyft line, like a professional makeup artist on one, a professional model. It was very interesting.
I should have been in your Lyft lines.
You would have appreciated. That was one Lyft ride one time. But the point is, this is not now. So special teams coordinator getting fired. And that would indicate that there's an issue. Block punt happens in the game against the Panthers. When you know that the game comes down to one score, most likely in the NFL, there's hope.
There's more than hope. There is more than just a crack in why the Bears can win this game. I always tell people, like, every man has a chance with a woman that he's interested in. That chance may be the size of a peephole, or it could be floor-to-ceiling window.
The ceiling is the roof. Get Michael Jordan here.
Good luck.
And yes, to be fair, Michael Jordan has been spotted at Blackhawks games, but that's been many years ago. That's 15 years ago, I believe.
The ceiling is the roof.
I knew what he meant.
The point is, the Bears have larger, much larger than the chance of a keyhole of beating the Rams. They have a sizable window, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how this game plays out, because the league is going to be curious to see how Ben Johnson's cardiac Bears react when facing the ultimate test offensively in Sean McVay's Rams.
Coming up next here on Raheemy Harris and Grody, we continue our busy day of having some big name guests. He almost mushed the team. The meatball machine was full of people who didn't want him in the vicinity of the city, but he came out okay. Danny Perkins was at the Bears game. He wore the majestic robe. He will talk to us about his game along with what's next. Does he come back for the divisional? Are you okay with it? Can you handle it? We'll discuss with Danny next.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.